John chapter 11, beginning in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him, and let him go. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Would you pray with me one more time that God would speak to your heart? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we are able to be here in this room today. In this sanctuary, Lord, we've brought all of our things with it. We've brought all of our life with us today. We've brought all of our issues, our problems. We've brought our praise and our worship. Lord, we're asking you by your Spirit that you will do what only you can do. Lord, it is not by my power or my might or my strength or my ability, but it is only by your Spirit. And I thank you for that. Open up our ears to hear what you would say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to say this morning how much that I appreciate the fact that you are here. I appreciate the fact that you chose to come to the house of God this morning because you made a choice. I want to tell you that I love you as my church family, those that I get to call my brothers and sisters. I love you and I appreciate you for being here. And thirdly, I just want to go ahead and say maybe a warning to you that you might want to just hold on to your seats this morning. Because God downloaded this message through my spirit last night between 10 o'clock and midnight that there was a word to be preached in this house this morning. As I was seeking the Lord earlier this week, I believe it was on Friday morning, I was talking to God and I began to cry out to him from the depths of my heart. And I said to God, Lord, help me not to be bound by anything that could happen to me, anything that could happen for me, anything that could happen against me. Don't let me be bound by those things that would keep me from being who you have called me to be. And as that prayer came out of my heart to God, I began to listen to what I was saying with my spirit. And the Holy Ghost quickened this word to me on Friday morning. And he said, I don't want you to be bound. I want you to be consumed. So the Lord being my helper, I want to preach to you a message that God has given me, bound or consumed. This life that we live has many ups and downs to it. There are ups of happy times and there are the downs of sad times. There are good things and bad things. There are the easy places and the hard places. The mountains, the valleys, whatever you want to call it. And nobody in this room escapes any of those things. No matter what your mind will try to convince you of, the person seated on either side of you, the one in front of you, the one behind you, or any person anywhere on this campus, whether they are seated or standing, are not beyond. They are not exempt from the ups and the downs of life happening. The life that we live. Some of those ups and downs are just common to mankind. They are just common to man, the Bible tells us that. But the majority of ups and downs in our life, I submit to you, are because of the spiritual realm. Life and the emotions of this thing called life will sometimes work on you, work against you, to try to convince you that you are without importance, that what you do and who you are is really of very little significance to the grand scheme of the things that you are involved in. Anybody ever dealt with that? You're not really that important to life, to the people, to the church. It's just, you're really not that big of a deal. But I came to you this morning with both an encouragement and a challenge from the Holy Ghost. And that encouragement and that challenge would say to every person under the sound of my voice, everything you do matters. Did you hear that? Everything you do matters. That can be both encouraging to hear, and it's kind of jarring to our frame of mind. That handshake that you gave this morning mattered to somebody when you came into the house of God. And that handshake that you did not give mattered to somebody when you came into the house of God. That kind word that you gave mattered to somebody when you gave it to them. And that kind word that you did not give mattered to somebody. Everything that we do matters. When I think about that, it is a sobering thing to me. And while it is sobering to my spirit to be challenged to remember that everything that I do matters, it is also an area where I believe that the enemy would like to try to bind us up in. I know that there are people here in this room that genuinely serve God, deeply love God. I really, truly believe that. I know that about many of you. You love God. I know that there are some in this room that are up and down. They're in and out. There are those that are struggling with things, but there are those in this room that are having a great desire toward God, to be used of God, to be called of God, to be anointed of God. There are those that are in this house this morning. And if I know that this morning, I also know that there are people that are struggling with something. They are dealing with something. And some of you may have even reached the point where it has become a task to live for the Lord, and you're just doing it one day at a time. That's how you're making it. That's where you are. And all of us, whether you've got the hunger, whether you've got the battle, whether you're just making it one day at a time, all of us came together in this place today. We made a choice to be here because God has a desire for us to be able to come together in His house and have freedom to worship Him. Why? Because that's God's desire for us. Don't shut me off this morning. I've got something to say to you. You know this morning that there is an enemy of our soul that knows that if we worship God, things that are binding us will lose their grip. You ever lost yourself in worshiping God, and all of the problems that you walked in with weren't there when you walked out? You lost yourself in the freedom that was in the house of God. And when you did, all of the heaviness just fell away. It lost its grip on your soul. We praise God for what He's done, but you worship God for who He is. And the enemy of your soul hates it when you get to that place where you're worshiping God for who He is. To you, the devil can't stand that. So the enemy of your soul will try to keep you bound up in the stuff. Some who even used to sit right here among you no longer do. Why? Because they got bound up in stuff and they couldn't get loose. without even realizing it, little by little, not really even noticing what was taking place, something started wrapping itself around their mind, wrapping itself around their heart. You don't walk away from God overnight. You hear me? You do not walk away from God overnight. What happens is you find yourself start being tangled up with stuff. And when we get all tangled up in the stuff, we start going through the motions. And we become kind of mechanical when we come to church. Stuff starts weaving itself in and through and around our lives and in our minds until we find ourselves not having, what's that word? Oh yeah, we call it freedom. Not having the freedom like we once had. And when we don't have the freedom like we once had, Brother Steve, every little thing starts to bother us in the house of God. You hear me? When you start getting tangled up in nonsense and battles and stuff and mind games, and you no longer have the freedom to worship God when you come into the house, everything bothers you. Every glance, every word, every directive from the pulpit, every song, everything, the time frames, everything starts to just get on your nerves. Bother you. So I want to begin this morning with the word bound. I cannot for time's sake address all of the different ways that the word bound can be expounded on, so I'll just touch on a few of them. And as a minister, I cannot talk about you. I can only talk about me. I can only convey to you what I know about things that try to bind. I can only convey to you some of the ways in which this idea of everything I do matters has tried to work on me even since I moved here. Is that real enough for you? Everything you do matters. It's attempted to wrap itself around me and bind me. That weight of feeling like you cannot get it right in everyone's eyes, no matter how hard you try. I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm talking about the mind game of the enemy. The weight, the burden of feeling like you'll never be able to speak to everybody that you wanted to, or have the meaningful sit-down conversation and relationship, the struggle of not always knowing what everyone is dealing with, even though people assume that you do, and then they criticize your lack of knowledge. The intensity of carrying around the care and the concern for people's feelings without being bound up and hindered by caring too much what people think. Am I getting too real? I'm only trying to make you feel the reality of the binding up that attempts to work on us, no matter who you are and what you do. The working, that working of all of the things in our life. So we will be bound up in the fact that we will never be able to get it all right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So that word bound means, it literally means a limitation, a restriction, a limiting value, to constrict you, to confine you, to restrain you. We read here in the book of John the very well-known account of Lazarus coming out of that grave. This is no small thing. This is a big deal. A man who was dead and in the grave for 4 days is now trying to get out of that grave, and he's trying to get the grave clothes off of him because he heard the consuming voice of authority over death call to him. And when he heard that voice, he began to struggle against what had him bound up. Life had already come to him, but now he had to get the things that were binding him out of the way. The Bible plainly says that he was bound up. He is bound his hands. The Bible specifically mentioned his hands are bound up. His feet are bound up. His face is bound up. Oh, come on. His hands. He couldn't be effective as long as his hands are bound up with death. He couldn't serve. He couldn't love. He couldn't carry anybody's burdens. He couldn't work. He couldn't give as long as those hands are bound up. His feet are bound up. He couldn't walk this thing out. He couldn't go. He couldn't travel to meet somebody else's need. He couldn't run the race as long as those feet are bound. His face is bound up. He can't share. He can't speak. He can't encourage, challenge, pour out, teach, preach, exhort, testify about what Jesus had just done in his life as long as he's bound up. Being bound, restricted, confined, limited is not God's plan for you. And it is not God's plan for me. Now, I am not one of those preachers that comes along and tells you that it's time for you to live your best life now. Time for you to not have any struggles. If all you'll do is get you some self-help affirmations and re-say those all day, every day to tell yourself how good you are. No. I'm not one of those preachers that says if you serve God, you won't have any trouble. In fact, I know and I've lived it and you've lived it that if you serve God, you'll probably have more than your fair share of battles and struggles while you live for God, while you're serving God, while you're hungry for God. But just because you and I have a battle to fight doesn't mean that we've got to be bound up by that battle. Just because you have a sword to carry and a shield to hold up does not mean that you have to be bound up by the weight of those weapons. You understand what I'm saying to you? God does not intend for you to be bound, and the Holy Ghost needs for somebody to know that in this house today. Are you bound up by disappointments? You feel limited in love and care for others because of the disappointment in the past? Are you bound up by wounds that you just cannot or will not let heal? You feel restricted from moving on and growing in the Lord because of it. You just come and sit on. I am talking specifically by the Holy Ghost to somebody in this room. You've been wounded in the past by friends in this house, that your own friends among you. You were wounded by it, but you will not let that thing heal. You cannot seem to get past that. You're bound up in your spiritual life because of the wounds of the past. And you cannot move on and you cannot grow because of it. Are you bound up in your own mind? That mind. Don't you wish sometimes you could just slap your own self in the face? Say, stop it. Quit it. Get out of there. I don't want that there. Punch your own self in the temple. Say, stop it. Bound up in your mind. Bound up in your feelings. Are you bound up by situations? Come on, brother. Come on, sister. The Holy Ghost is calling out to you today. Did there used to be more freedom in your worship? Did you used to respond more easily to the Spirit of God? If your answer, you don't have to tell me, but if on the inside of you, you know your heart is saying, yes, sister, I used to worship more freely. Yes, I used to respond to God. If your answer is, I used to have more freedom in God than I do now, then somewhere along the way, there's been some stuff that's been working on you and trying to tangle you up in it. When Jesus saw Lazarus bound up, saw him, Jesus knew he was there. He knew he was in the grave. Didn't have to see him before knowing it. Bound up in his hands and his feet and his face, he called out. He said, Lord, I know, I already know that you heard me, but I'm saying this for the sake of all the people around me so they'll know it. Loose him. Get out of there. Let him go free. And since he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that love of Christ toward his own has never changed. If he said, loose him, when he saw Lazarus, he's saying those same words to your spirit this morning. Loose him, loose her, and let her go from the thing that is binding them up. Our enemy wants to keep us bound up so we won't do what God would have us do. He wants to keep us bound up so that we will not see a move of God in this house. He wants to keep us bound up so that we will not obey God. So he'll work on you to get you restricted and limited and confined. You can never become what God wants you to be until you are free in the Spirit of God. If you're not free in your walk with the Lord, you can't seem to ever get your head above the water, then maybe you need to start asking yourself some hard questions. Is there something I'm doing in my life that is limiting the flowing of God's presence to me? Ask yourself that question. Is there something I'm allowing that is restricting and confining me in the things of God? You know that sin can bind you. Sin will cause you to live bound. And if you have sin in your life this morning, the Holy Ghost will plead with you and say, repent. Get it right. Get rid of it. Get it under the blood. Let the blood wash it away. Let the blood cleanse you. Let the blood make you free so that you are not bound up when you come into the house of God by unrepented sin. And I'm not, don't give me that thing about, well, I don't know. I can't feel God, so I just must have I must have sinned somewhere, and I don't remember, I don't know what I did. God is not like that. You can say, cleanse me, Lord, every single day. That doesn't mean you walk around bound up thinking God is waiting for you to do something that you're not even aware of so he can punish you. That's not the God we serve. Get rid of that. That's binding you up. You can be bound by sin, but if you repent, it's gone. But you can also be bound up and not have sin in your life. You can be bound up in your emotions, bound up in the past, bound up in your heart, bound up in your mind, feeling limited. I feel confined. I feel restricted in my ability to minister, my ability to love each other, my ability to give, my ability to share, my ability to pray in these altars, my ability to go, to speak, to serve. The Holy Ghost needs you to know that he does not want you to live bound. He wants you to get tired of it. I'm telling you, somewhere between 10 o'clock and midnight last night, the Holy Ghost said, I need some people to get tired of it. Tired of being bound up. Tired of being limited in how I can worship God. Tired of being restricted to my thought life. Tired of feeling like I cannot lift my hands up in freedom to my Maker. Tired of it. Apostle Paul wrote and he said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made you free. What does that mean? It means that you're going to have to make sure that you're guarding your freedom. And if you will get yourself unentangled from all of the stuff that you've gotten tangled up in, you will be consumed with the freedom that God made you free with. Pastor Jason was talking about not being consumed by the world. I'm talking about being consumed by God. They go hand in hand. He wants you to live consumed, not bound. So let's look at the word consumed. If you're consumed by something, it affects you very strongly. If you are consumed by something, it means that you have so much of a feeling about something that it affects. Are you ready for this? I started out on everything you do matters. But when you are consumed by something, it literally affects everything you do. Woo! You feel that? My God. That phrase, there it is again. Everything I do. Another definition of the word consumed can mean to eat or drink, especially a lot of something. Are you consuming at the table of the Lord? Are you eating and drinking of the river of that Spirit? Are you eating at the table of the Lord, the Word of God? God stirred this thing in me, and I wish that I could preach it to you. We read in Hebrews 12:29. We read it this morning. Our God is a consuming fire. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 20:27 that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Let's tie those things together. If a literal candle, I think we got one up here. This literal candle had a soul and it could speak to us today. I have zero doubt that it would confess to everybody in this room, I was created to make light. I am certain that it would proudly declare that as a candle, I am willing to completely surrender my life to the pursuit of that purpose, which is to create light. You feel me? I feel the Holy Ghost stirring up something in this room. After all, creating light is not only the purpose of that candle, but it is the only place where this wax creation finds any real meaning, is when it's creating light. And in this process of this candle creating light, this candle is going to have to totally surrender itself to that call and that purpose for which it was. I'm talking about being consumed now. We're going to get past being bound up, and now we're going to be consumed. And you hear me? That surrender of this candle will change this candle's temperature. It'll change this candle's structure. It'll change this candle's appearance. This candle will ultimately become completely consumed, living out the purpose for which it was created. Here you go. You ready? A candle does not produce light simply because it is called a candle. Did you catch that? A candle does not produce light just because it was made to be a candle. And a candle doesn't produce light because it's called one, because it was created to. A candle will only produce light when that wick is exposed to some fire. A fire that's going to require much from this candle. In fact, the fire will require complete and total surrender from this candle. You, sir, you, ma'am, have been created by God for a definite purpose. But just because you are involved in a weekly practices of Christian religion does not mean that you will accomplish those purposes. The memorization of the greatest theological doctrine among us and the habits of going to church, traditions, they will not be the catalyst that you need to fulfill what you were created for. The only thing that will get you to the place that God can use us is if we are fully surrendered to the call of God and consumed by Him after you make that surrender. Consumed by that fire of the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost being so strong in your heart and your mind and your life that He affects, are you ready? Everything you do. Just because we are affiliated with Christianity does not make us passionate about God's purpose. Just because we are affiliated with the name of Pentecost, that does not make our lives relevant in building the kingdom of God. Just because we come to church does not make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. When you get tired of being bound up by whatever it is that's tangling you up, I confess to you what some of mine have been. Lately, trying to wrap its tentacles around my mind and get me bound up in what people might think or what I missed or what I didn't do correctly. Instead of just freely, I have received, freely give. You get tired of being bound. The presence of God can sweep in. And His fire will light up that spiritual candle. And He'll start consuming you. He'll start consuming all of the things that had tied you up. Because you got tired of living underneath the limitations of being bound. We were created to surrender and be consumed by God. Just like that candle that's created to surrender itself to a flame. That consuming fire, who is God, wants to consume every aspect of your life. And when He does it, He will destroy your old way of life. When He consumes us, you ready for this one? He will alter, He will change your personality. The trappings of that personality that binds you up will be changed when God truly and totally consumes you. When He consumes you, it melts away your established, structured way of how I do things. It redefines our integrity. The integrity of this candle is one thing, but when it's lit on fire, it redefines the entire composure. Do you hear that? Composure. How composed are you when you come before God? That's not in my notes. Woo. How composed and put together are we when we come before God. When His fire gets a hold of it. When His fire gets a hold of it, that's why some of you fall on the floor, because you become like liquid wax and you melt in the presence of God. You melt when His fire gets a hold of you. But this process cannot happen until we are sold out, until we are surrendered. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot be bound and surrendered at the same time. You cannot be bound and surrendered at the same time. You cannot be bound and consumed at the same time. It is one or the other. And if we're not willing to be consumed, I'm almost to an end. If we're not willing to be consumed, we are choosing to be made worthless to what God wanted to do with our lives. And we turn ourselves into something similar to a beautifully made candle that is set on a shelf, never lit up. A beautifully created instrument of light that ends up being dusty and irrelevant, missing out on the purposes of God, bound up inside that candle jar, giving no light. Being consumed by the Spirit of God does not show up in practicing a religion. It shows up in the pursuit of a relationship with God that you can find no stopping place for. You can find no cessation of the hunger that you have for the relationship with God. Consumed does not show up in your knowledge about a God. It shows up in your surrender to the one true God. Being consumed by God does not show up in any kind of habits that we have picked up from church life. It shows up when you begin to live in the freedom of the Spirit of God. We are not made to be bound. We are made to be utterly consumed by the fire of God. Living bound up will not show God's glory to anyone around you. The only time that the real glory of God will be revealed in you is when you're consumed and you feel so strongly about Him that it affects everything you do. I don't want to be bound. I want to be consumed. Would you stand with me all over this room? I know without any doubt that God has spoken to you. I don't second guess that, and I do not question it. It's up to you what you do with it. But I know that God has spoken. Would you bow your heads with me?